Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Grace of a Military Child and Life podcast. Military families are not like your traditional family. They are strong, brave, resilient, and some of the most incredible people I know. My name is Gracie, a U.S. Army brat, and I am your host. I am honored to be able to give military family members like myself a place for them to share their stories and experiences in the military life. Stay tuned for this week's guest.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to a new episode of Grace of a Military Child and Life. Today, I'm here with Mary, who is an Air Force brat. So, Mary, welcome to the podcast. How are you?
Thank you. I'm happy to be here. I'm great. Yeah. Thanks.
Awesome. Well, tell me what it was like growing up as an Air Force brat for you.
You know, I think that experience is different for everyone. It obviously was a while ago for me, but I think that really forms who you are, you know, especially if you go through that as a child. So my dad flew an Air Force. And I was born in California. And then we lived in a couple of bases in California. I was born at Mather, and then we moved to Victorville. And from there, we went to the Philippines. So I think one thing too, that I learned during this process, not consciously, but my dad would typically go ahead and then the family would follow. So my mom was really responsible for sort of gathering up the kids and getting us there. And the Philippines is a little bit of a jaunt. So I had an older brother who was a year older than me. And so she took us and we went to the Philippines. I have just a few spotty memories from that because I was so young. And then I think I filled in the rest just based on stories, you know, my parents. So we lived in the Philippines for about 2 years. And then we moved from there to Iceland. So
That must have been really cool.
It was, I have more memories from Iceland. drastic change in, you know, just climate and culture. Again, as a child, you're not saying to yourself, oh my gosh, this is a different culture. You're just sort of blending and finding your way. But we did things. There was always snow. The sun didn't set. I remember that, wondering why I had to go to sleep when the sun was still up.
Yeah, it's weird.
that to contend with. And then we, you know, I remember playing on like a big, just abandoned sort of destructed boat and an old car, and it was sort of bizarre existence. Yeah. The storms were very strong. My mom, I remember the story, I again didn't see it, but just being blown down the street, you know, you have nothing to grab onto. And so these sort of extreme conditions, all of it wasn't like that, but you know, we remember the highlights. So lived in Iceland, and then we moved from there to Alabama, to Maxwell Air Force Base. We were just there for a year. And then we moved from there to Nellis out in Las Vegas. And I think I was, I'd done all that. And I think I was just starting kindergarten. So it was a lifetime, you know, by age 5. So, so we lived there and we were there for 4 years. So that's a big chunk of childhood. And we went to both a private school in downtown Las Vegas, and then we went to a public school right outside of Nellis. And we played on sand dunes and we rode bikes and did all the things. That's when we first started to play sports too. Soccer was just becoming a thing. I don't know. I'm not super young, but anyway, soccer was just coming to the States. So as a thing, kids would play. And so my dad signed us up. That's another thing I would say with the military too, is lots of opportunities. And, you know, my parents were very quick to afford us those opportunities. So at Nellis, we did things like we played co-ed soccer. That was fun. We didn't ask a lot of questions. Typically when my parents signed us up for something, we just did it. I think it was just the nature of you're doing something new. You live somewhere new. These are your new friends.
Here you
go. And so you figure it out. And other things we did, they would set up obstacle courses on the base for the people, the recruits, the people in the military, but then sometimes they would have a day where they set it up and it would be a family day. So we could go try to do some of those things. That was a big deal. I was a junior security police officer. So at age 9, we trained. There was a training just for us to teach us some safety things for ourselves as children. Right. But they gave us a uniform and some shoes we had to shine and a name tag.
And special.
Oh my gosh. I thought for sure, you know, I had made it. And then they even let us salute people onto the base. So obviously we're with the guards, but man, I was very important at that time.
That's so cool.
Yeah. So just some experiences, you know, that are sort of just for military kids. I mean, I don't know, you know, civilian kids too can do ride alongs with, you know, their parents who are cops and stuff. So similar, but a little bit different.
Yeah.
So yeah, so we lived at Nellis for 4 years. I remember Circus was a big, big deal to go downtown and go to that. So now it's fun to go back to Vegas as an adult and see that. It's very different and sort of strange too. I don't know, you know, how much you moved as a child or if you did at all, but to go back to somewhere you left is, it's just so strange.
You get like a really eerie feeling because it, I mean, when I went back to Texas, probably 5 or so years later, I'd been quite a while. And so going back there, it was like, everything's the same. And we were going back and it was like the week of COVID. So like everything was starting to shut down. Mm-hmm. So it's really eerie to begin with. But going back there, driving past our old house, like seeing everything and the eyes that you have as like, I was 9 when we lived there. So having the eyes of like 9 to 12 years old living somewhere and then the eyes of like an 18-year-old living there.
Yeah.
Wild. So how much changes and how much stays the same is crazy. And I'm sure Vegas changes, you know, it changes daily.
Yes. So. Well, your lens definitely changes as an adult. So, but I did go back and just stood outside the gate, you know, and just sort of took it in. And I think one thing too, you know, it's not to say civilians don't go back to where they were.
Right.
But I think the difference is, you know, families in the civilian world grow up in neighborhoods. And so some of those people might still be there where if you go back to an Air Force base or, you know, some other military post, it's
no one is there.
It's all different people. It's just a different. Yeah. It's so weird. It's like time travel or something. So, so I've been back to Nellis. And so that's been fun to be able to see that. And then from there, we actually moved to Germany. And so
many overseas.
Oh my gosh.
We
moved to Germany. I was just turning 10. So all that other stuff happened before I was 10 and then moved there. I think this was maybe my favorite place to live. And I think part of it had to do with how old I was. I was getting some independence because at 10 in the military, you get your military ID and
such a huge milestone.
You can go to the movies, you can buy something at the BX. And so sort of a newfound freedom. By then there were 4 of us. My mom was pregnant with my little brother and she gave birth to him in Germany soon after we got there. And sort of notorious for our family to remember is my brother was born. And on the same day, my parents brought him home. They also brought home a new TV and new VCR. So,
oh my gosh.
We celebrate my brother and the fact that we every year on his birthday.
Yeah. So listen, I miss having a VCR. Like we left that in Ohio when we moved to Texas. And I love having that. Like I miss being able to put a movie in, but nobody sells them anymore. So why even have it?
I think we have to let it go. But yeah, it is, you know, fun to remember and just those milestones through life. And, you know, as a kid, what's important? Yes, I have a new little brother. I'm excited. Also, what movie are we going to watch? So equating those. And then again, in Germany, you know, some things were happening around the world while we were there. So we were there from 1983 to 86. So Libya and Gaddafi, Chernobyl, those kinds of things were happening. The space shuttle explosion happened while we were there. So I think, you know, what was different for us is really we had the news, but we just had the AFES channel. So,
right.
You know, that's very foreign for even, you know, I have four kids and they would just be shocked to try to digest that we didn't get the news immediately. And, right. So those were, you know, some serious things that were going on in the world. And so my dad was often doing trainings, you know, they would do trainings at night, flight trainings and things like that. I think you just sort of, that's the norm for kids. Some other things we went, I lived at Spangdahlem Air Force Base in Germany. So we had to take a bus to the junior high, which was in Bitburg. And So to get on the bus, we had to have our ID. There were guards on our bus because of these things happening globally.
Right.
And because of changing bases. So the guards would check our ID and then that felt normal. I mean, they just had, you know, you're fully equipped. So M16s and things like that. Never blinked. I always felt just safe. I guess I never questioned that. So get on the bus. And then when we arrived at Bitburg every morning, they would come and like put the long mirror under the bus to check it again, check everybody on the bus. And, you know, we would just go to school and that was sort of a normal day. So that's not normal for most kids.
No, like imagine having to get like from the civilian child's eyes, like getting on the school bus every day and having right. to have your ID checked and then having guards on there and then having to have your ID checked again. And I could not imagine that. I mean, as a military child, I can't imagine that.
Yes.
If a civilian child,
Yeah. Or just trying to explain it or put somebody right. in that scene. And you know, civilian kids have their own things that are, you know, normal that feel different for us too.
Like living in the same house for you know, so long.
It's, I can't imagine it. I can't imagine it. So then also in Germany, one other thing that the Air Force did was, arrange weekend trips. So in junior high, I was really fortunate. So we went all over Europe. So, you know, we just went to like England and France and Italy. And we went to local, like Munich and we just Norway and Sweden and everywhere, Holland. It was amazing. And that was, I mean, sometimes it was longer than a weekend, but they would arrange that for us. And so I was just speaking at a high school and explaining to them that the things we were concerned with on an Air Force base are not the same things kids were or are concerned with here, or just sort of the world at large. So I always felt when I moved to an Air Force base that I was supposed to be there and everyone was supposed to be there. And that's accurate because you were assigned and ordered to be there. And so there was no like, you're not supposed to be here or you are a certain way. And so we can't be friends with you. Or there was just none of that. It was like, oh my gosh, like you guys are here too. We should be friends, you know. And I'm not saying kids didn't fight and things like that, but there was none of that. Like you shouldn't be here for a reason that I can see.
Right.
There was some like, what's your dad's rank? You know, compared to my dad's rank.
I think there's tons of that.
Some of that. In
military schools anyways. But yeah, there's no like, you don't have, the military is one big melting pot of literally everyone.
Right.
So you don't have those lines that you're like, okay, you gotta stay over here. I'm gonna stay over here.
Right.
Or like, we're breaking off into these like, you know, little cliques all over the place. You don't have that as much.
I mean,
you'll get it every once in a while, but that's it.
Yeah. That definitely, you know, just in my own childhood brain was not a concern. But one thing I was telling these high schoolers is that I never knew that there was such a thing as homeless people until I was in junior high because everybody was on a base. So you had a place. And even in Las Vegas, if we went downtown, because of course I was examining this after I said that, but it either was never pointed out to me or wasn't conscious of it or something like that.
Right.
So, but I remember being in Italy, we were by the Trevi Fountain and we were walking back to our tour bus and there was this woman and she had a baby and a toddler and she was against the wall and the kids were crying and she was very disheveled. And it just was, I didn't understand like what was going on there. Like, you know, should we help her or something? And so my mom explained that on the bus, you know, she was probably homeless and didn't have it. I just was like, so, I mean, I was so broken that, you know, somebody would have to experience that. That was just so moving. I mean, I was 12. And so, like,
well, and I think in that mind too, like, you're in a new country, like, you don't necessarily know what happens in that country. So it could be like a foreign thing to begin with, that idea of homelessness. Right. But I mean, it's all over the world. And I think another thing too, it's like way more seen overseas than it is here. Mm-hmm. Because when I went to Scotland, all over the place, lining the streets. Mm-hmm. But here, like, we don't, you know, in certain areas, it is that way. But like where I am, like Southwest Florida, they don't allow you to stay on the streets really. So it's so different. Right.
It is so different. One other thing, I was in Girl Scouts. I wanted to be in Boy Scouts because my brother was in Boy Scouts and he did all fun, like camping and hiking and all that stuff. And we were like, not to knock the Girl Scouts, I mean, they were doing what they knew. But we were like, you know, baking and domestic things just never really been my favorite. But but we did take a trip. Okay, so we went to Berlin as a Girl Scout trip. This is the mid.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, so the wall is still up. My parents took me to the train station. You know, I wasn't a kid who loved to sleep over at other people's houses, so I was already struggling like that no parent was going to be there. They put me on the train with the Girl Scout leaders and off we went. So we had to go through East Berlin to get there. So the guards came on the train because back then you weren't really supposed to be in East Berlin. So they came on the train, they went through our rooms. We had to be very quiet and still, you know, not cause trouble. We were like a junior high. That was very hard to restrain. You know, I think we understood the seriousness of it. And then, we went to Berlin. We were there for a few days. We stayed in, just a big old, from what I remember, to me, in my mind, it looks like a mansion, but, you know, it could have been a regular house. Who knows? But we stayed there just as a Girl Scout troop. We had like three leaders taking us around Berlin. We went to Checkpoint Charlie. Again, I was just the atrocity and Checkpoint Charlie Museum at the time. I think it was the beginnings of what would be a museum at the time. Just the walls filled with pictures and then running movies of attempted escapes, you know, under the wall, women with babies, and just now when I look back, I'm like, was that a little bit traumatizing? But definitely just seared into my brain. And the wall was right there. We just went over and touched the wall and saw the wall, and then, you know, a handful of years later, the wall came down. So those kinds of opportunities to just, you know, be in history is wild. And again, still so young at that time. So
that's a crazy part. You're so young.
So young. I'm so happy I was old enough to remember a lot of that. So, you know, my brother, he was just born and we were there for 3 years. So he doesn't really have, you know, clear memories of that. I had a sister who was 6 years younger. She's got some spotty memories. And then from there, we moved to Montgomery, Alabama, back to Maxwell. And so we lived off base. And that was very different to go to school there. And again, that whole comparing yourself to others and trying to find your place, that was different in a civilian school. Right. And, you know, that year was just us learning about sort of how civilian kids live. Now, it's pretty much the same at the bases. We rode bikes, you know, we hiked in the woods and we did that kind of stuff. Lots of outside time. And then I went from there to North St. Paul, Minnesota. So it was like, flip. Yeah. And so North St. Paul is the last, well, we went to school there and then moved to Roseville, which is an adjoining suburb. But my dad was last stationed at the University of Minnesota doing ROTC. And so, you know, we still were having some adventures. Like, he took his recruits and challenged us to climb all the steps in the IDS Tower in Minneapolis. And we just showed up, you know, to do it. And he still signed us up for all kinds of things through high school. And we still played sports and all that kind of stuff. So So yeah, so before I graduated high school, I'd been in 14 schools and yeah, 13 countries, not lived in, you know, but at least visited or lived right. in. Those experiences are, I mean, I wouldn't change it for the world, you know?
Yeah.
It's amazing.
So. It's all irreplaceable, you know, and you for go sure. through all of this stuff and it's so cool, you know, to say you've been to Berlin and you saw the wall when mm-hmm. it was still up, you yes. know, most people don't have that. And so like being able to go through life and see history literally mm-hmm. in the making, I mean, we're still all doing this today, you know, we're sure. all, this is going to end up being in the history books, like something mm-hmm. from this time period. But you look back and it's like, no, that's like a defining moment in German history, mm-hmm. in American history, in world history, you know,
right.
that wall coming down. And so you see all of these defining moments and it's really cool to say, oh no, I was there. Like I saw this happening. I did this. Like,
yes,
I love traveling. I am like a traveler mm-hmm. at heart. And so I love to be able to go to these places and see the history. And even though I haven't really been outside of the US much, mm-hmm. but like being able to just even go to different parts of this country
oh,
and
for
see
sure.
the history that's been made.
I agree. And the other thing I think it does is it makes the world so much smaller. Even before yeah. you know, the internet and all of that, I think I always just was curious about other people, definitely. Just being exposed to so many different kinds of cultures and having to navigate those things. I mean, Santa for us, he arrived in a jet. He didn't yeah. come in a sleigh. We went down to the hangar and the jet landed and he got out and that's so cool. what we knew. Yes.
So cool.
So yeah, that was fun. But just being in all these different countries and cultures and interacting with people and realizing, you know, okay, people are people. Sure, we might do things differently. But there's really room for everyone is what you figure out, especially if you're just plopped into, you know, a new existence somewhere. And so I think that sense of curiosity and adventure that has always stayed with me, I think. So a couple of things that I think are difficult for me because of that lifestyle. And I mean, it was a while ago, but you know, your brain is really being formed at that time. Right. And you're really learning relationships and you're learning your place with other people. I think the temporary nature of everything just growing up in my 20s, I still was living like that. So I wasn't projecting long term.
Right.
Well, what am I going to be, you know, what's life going to look like in my 30s or 40s? I couldn't even really project out like the next year. I just was like, where's the fun? You know, can I like afford clothes and food? I'm good to go. Because you really grow up so basic. It's not like there aren't malls on base. You don't, the things that you care about are different because of what's been presented to you. So like you have a BX. And so that shirt comes in two colors and you and your friends are going to choose from those two colors for the shirt. And you don't care what people want. So fashion also has not been like a huge priority. but so that, and then just the temporary nature of things. You know, now that I'm older, I think, you know, I worry that I'll run out of time. I don't want that. So it's starting to hit me like this doesn't just go on forever. When you grow up like that, it feels like it just goes on forever. Like what's the next destination? You know, what's my next adventure? And then if you have kids, you know, that's grounding. So my kids have all been in the same school district, not necessarily same schools, because, you know, we've moved within the suburb and things, but so they've had a very different sort of childhood than I did. They know who people are. You know, kids, there are two high schools here, three middle schools and 10 elementary schools. So you'll see kids, they'll be in activities, but maybe they go to a different junior high. And then you see them again when your child's in high school. And even to me, I'm like, hey, I know that kid. you know, everybody knows that kid because hello, we all live here. But even part of my brain is like, my gosh, like they came back. And so you just never, I had a really bizarre sort of clashing of worlds. So I went to high school in Roseville, and a guy I graduated with married a girl that I was in junior high with in Germany.
Oh my gosh. And
to this day, even I see their Facebook posts, I just cannot imagine like the series of, because he was a civilian, she grew up in the military. I think they went to the same college and that's how they met. But still, the fact that I was somebody who knew both of them, just so strange to reconcile that. So,
yeah. Well, and it's such a small, like you said, like you don't realize how small this world is until you really get out there and you start seeing it for yourself. And I mean, that's a prime example of it. You never know how paths are going to cross, who's going to cross paths with who. And so even hearing people, I mean, I didn't move around that much to be able to experience this, but like hearing people say, oh yeah, I was in place A, B, and C with one person in A, and then they came back in C, you know, they like, you get stationed at the same place with the, or a different place with the same people. Like, it's wild to even think that that could happen because the military is so big. There's so many places that you could go. And then paths just end up crossing again. Even talking to people in Texas when we lived there, and it was like, they're from Cleveland, we're from Cleveland, but they moved a few times in between Cleveland and Texas. But then, you know, we just went Cleveland straight to Texas, and it's like, wow, you're from, you know, where we're from.
I took my kids, or we went on a family vacation. We drove down to Hilton Head, and on the way there, my very best friend from junior high in Germany, she now lives in Knoxville. And so I thought, oh, you know, I should get in touch with her, and we'll be driving through kind of in that way. And so I just got in touch with her, and I was like, hey, I can even just stop by the school where you work. You know, you don't have to disrupt your day or whatever. And she was like, yeah. And I hadn't seen her for decades. And she can't, I'm not a person who, you know, freely emotes sadness. You know, I just am not. But oh my gosh, she came around the corner and I saw her, and it was, well, it was very strange, but also it was just like so emotional because it's everything you lived in that area is now packaged. Like, she has my memories. You know, there's no one has my memories, you know, because you don't grow up with the same people. So, so you see that person, it's like, oh my gosh, like it was very cool and emotional. And here I was, you know, decades later, all my kids were there. My husband was with me. I'm just like, hey, here's how we catch up. Like, it's been a little while, you know? Yeah. So yeah, that was just so strange. And I mean, I haven't seen her since. That was a handful of years ago, but it was just so great to sort of interact with her and see her, even though we'd had such different lives since we saw each other.
Even those, like, reconnecting with people who you grew up with is crazy because, I mean, just like that, you see how much life has gone by, you know, family, kids, education, like career, everything happens, you know, through a decade even. You know, I hadn't talked to people when I was 12 in Texas and then talking to them at like 18, you know, all of high school happened.
A lot of change happens in those years too.
So even just going through, it's crazy to talk to people again, but it's also like time never passed. You just, you click just right back to the friendship you had.
Yeah, definitely. You know, one other thing, even as I moved through adulthood, you know, career wise, I would have a job and then be there for a while and it would be a good experience. And I, you know, would have fun and get to know people and get to know the job and really try to be good at that. And then it was like, well, I have to now go do something else. You know, just that, like, again, that temporary nature. It's like, what's the next adventure? So, so I really was like managed in call centers and retail, did some hotel HR. And then I discovered, well, I had kids pretty close together. And then So I stayed home for a little while, which also was not for me.
It's not for everyone.
No, it was fine for that short time, but I really needed to be out, you know, doing something. So I had a part-time job just at a recruiting office. Mm-hmm. And over time, decided that I really wanted to, it was a staffing agency, so many people would come in, and a number of veterans came in. And I really watched my dad go from flying fighters, then his last station was University of Minnesota with ROTC, and then he got out and he just kept going to school. You know, and in the military, yeah. You have opportunities to go to school a lot, you know, even just schools for the military. So he ended his career with the Air Force, and then he got a law degree and he got a degree in electronics. And he never really had another sort of career besides the Air Force. You know, he worked, but it's just like, you're never going to pull G's again. And so that transition was just so hard. And I think it is for most people who serve. I've got brothers who are Marines, and you know, they got out and they are thriving in their new roles. But just that moving from the military into civilian world. And so working at the staffing agency, I sort of designated myself as the person who would talk to the veterans and help them see what skills they have that then can be used for these jobs that, you know, or careers that we were staffing for. Right. And then I moved into another position with the state supervising job service. And I did work with the veteran contacts there too. But what I discovered is, you know, I want to keep sort of one foot in that world always. Yeah. And so I want to help with that. I stay connected to the Veterans Chamber of Commerce and just those important relationships, you know, if there is something I can offer to give back, you know, to a life that was so good to me, I want to do that. Yeah. So then COVID came, and then I had to leave that job because I had 4 kids here, distance learning, and I just couldn't. I did it for a year working remotely at home while they were distance learned. And that was crazy.
A lot.
It was pretty, yeah. But that's another side effect of the military, is like, you're surrounded constantly by people who are meeting a goal.
Right.
And sometimes they don't want to, you know, we're all like that, you know, they have to report to somebody, you know, and maybe they don't want to do that test. They do it anyway, because it can be done and they're the one to do it. And so growing up seeing that, I think instilled this sense of really sort of getting after it, you know, set a goal, go do it. And even if I didn't know that, my dad was setting goals for us by enrolling us in things. And so once I got out of this sort of fun era in my 20s, sort of tried to figure out what responsibility is, I really started to do that for myself. And so I went back to school first, got a master's degree in organizational leadership. Then more recently, I was finishing up my second master's degree in human services counseling with an emphasis in life coaching. Then COVID hit. Then I left my job and was home. And I'd always wanted to write children's books. So yeah. I was finishing that degree. Kids were distance learning, but I always felt like, I mean, I'm here. So what else can I do? So then
right,
I decided
exactly.
Take on this book world, which operates differently than, you know, any job I'd had.
It does.
So then I found an illustrator who's brilliant, through my sister, and she and I connected. And since then we've written 5, I wrote, she illustrated. My 5th book is coming out May 15th.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah. And I was listening to your other guest who just wrote children, or she, I think she has 2 books she wrote for kids in the military. Yes. So
yes.
I listened to that podcast and I was just thinking about her, and my books really have underlying tones of resilience and choice that clearly comes from, you know, what I experienced, although what the books are based on are experiences that my children had, you know, in their childhood. So there's one for each. And then this book that comes out in May really is sort of a passion piece for kids. And it's called I Can Lift the World. And it's just about the power of choice and in everything. Even as a child, you know, everything is a choice. It's just you feel like you don't have a choice a lot of the time because you don't want to deal with what the consequence of not doing what you think you're supposed to do. So this book really talks about choice. And I think that's important for kids globally, and adults. So it's written, it's a children's book, but hopefully the person reading it to the child will also take the message, just that, you know, you have more impact on your own life than sometimes you give yourself credit for or even allow yourself to. And so I wrote those children's books, and then I started a life coaching business, and also I'm getting my PhD in developmental psychology. So I blame my dad. No, I'm doing that because, you know, I'm trying to really maximize my existence and be an example to my kids. And I feel like my parents really were that. You know, I talked a lot about my dad, but my mom, the strength to be able to uproot your children. And even as a mom, my kids don't leave the school district, and I still am trying to stay in tune with what they have going on, trying to understand them, trying to make sure we have great relationships. I'm trying to prepare them for the world.
Right.
And at the same time, we have a house and I'm married and I have my own pursuits. And I think just that's what my life coaching business is, Mentally Tough Mom. And then my dissertation for my PhD is on mental toughness and motherhood. So I can take a page right out of my mom's book. She was a great example. You know, she went to school for nursing. And then when my dad retired from the Air Force, she really became sort of the breadwinner and made a name for herself in the Twin Cities, not just with nursing, but with being a caseworker and things like that. So that was really fun to see and have as an example too. So yeah, it's been wild, and I feel like it's not close to being over. So I'll still be here trying to get stuff done.
Yeah, I love that. And you know, the military life, it's funny how, I mean, I am going to be 22, so I'm still young, but you know, going through life, my dad's been separated from the military for like a decade now. And so going through life, you see little hints of the military life, you know, through. And so, you know, I do this because of the military life. I do this because of the military life. I do this because of the way I was raised. And it's the thing of your parent, your service member is trained with all of these principles, these guidelines, you know, like you were saying, to meet a goal. And then it just trickles down into the family. And so as the child, you kind of have that same mindset, that same mentality without necessarily even knowing it or getting the training for it. And then, you know, I'm sure it feeds down generation after generation. And that's like the most incredible thing is just seeing the web of military life throughout, you know, the service member, the spouse, the children, the rest of the military community, and then how that feeds on.
Yeah, I agree. You know, if you pull the thread on anything you're doing, you know, oftentimes you can trace it back to maybe something you witnessed or something you witnessed repeatedly and how your parents approached things. We should say they're not always great. I mean, sometimes you don't want to pull the thread. You know, sometimes you just want to acknowledge like, I do that. They did that. I'm not going to do that.
Anymore. Right.
You know, because when you become an adult, it's obviously your parents become more human and, you know, you start to see things from their perspective. And some of that can be a better understanding of why they did the things that they did. Even raising my own kids, you know, I'll catch myself constantly and I'll just say like, wait, why did I say that? You know what I mean? Is that like, we lived in a different country and so it wasn't maybe safe to, but probably she can go to the next neighborhood, you know, or something like that. It's like, you have to remember why you're doing something. And that all comes back to being intentional. That's very difficult to do when you're a parent, because lots of parenting is reacting. And so being able to figure out who you are, why you do things, who your kids are, why they do things, and then be organized around that and be intentional around that is really, that's really the ultimate goal as a parent. And I think, you know, few of us get there. It's a long road. Yeah. So, yeah.
For sure. So the last thing I want to ask you is, like, mm-hmm. what piece of advice would you give to another military child, whether that's, you know, sure. past military child, present military child? I feel that the advice kind of, it stays the same, you know, throughout. Mm-hmm. But what would you tell another military child?
Well, I mean, if you're a military child right now, you know, I think keep your eyes open and embrace the opportunities that are afforded to you. And secondly, you know, I think pay attention to your parents. You know, they're really out there doing something really for all of us. That's hard to understand, right. You know, as yeah. a kid. It's hard to share your parents with the world, but, you know, they're out there to defend the nation. And that's really a big deal. And they're really a big person for doing that. And that's your parents. So you get to be proud of them and you get to look up to them. And I think, you know, ask them things and try to have conversations with them about what they're doing. Learn about them so you can learn about you. And then, you know, for those of us that have been through it and have grown out of it, you know, every memory for every person isn't great. Everybody didn't have the same kind of, they wouldn't talk about this the same way, you know, that I do. Maybe right. that was hard for them to move all the time. You know, we're all just individuals having an individual experience. So I can't speak for everyone, but my experience was good. And I think if your experience wasn't good, I would say, try not to hang on to that. You know, you have outgrown that now. You have a choice. You are allowed to let that go and recreate whatever you want your life to be now. So for those of us that loved it, you know, embrace it and instill that in your kids. And for those of us that didn't have, you know, such a great experience, every day you have a choice to not hang on to that. So,
right.
I think that would be my advice.
I love that. And then where can listeners find you and your books at? Mm-hmm.
Yes, thank you. So marykaufman.com is where my books are. Mentally Tough Mom on any platform. Is for the life coaching side of things. And I usually cross post. So you'll see my books sure. on Mentally Tough Mom too. So those two places, you know, Facebook and Instagram and even TikTok, but don't go there yet because I only have a couple. They're just and let's see, Facebook, Instagram. Yeah, LinkedIn is a great place too. I'd love to connect with people there. So
yeah.
So yeah,
LinkedIn is the best.
Yeah, I know. Awesome. You know, I've been doing that more lately. Social media is great as far as, you know, Facebook and Instagram and stuff, but yeah, I've been enjoying making connections on LinkedIn more lately. So
it's such a valuable tool that I think is important to be utilized. Mm-hmm. And I think as a world, we're starting to see the potential in it and start to utilize it more, which I'm very excited about.
Mm-hmm. Especially in business, you know, you want people who are business minded to be connecting. So yeah.
Yeah. Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, Mary, for being on the podcast and sharing your incredible stories growing up as a military child.
Thank you. I really appreciate the opportunity to be here and talk about this. This is so fun for me. So thank you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you for listening to Grace of a Military Child and Life podcast. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to give it a like, follow, and comment. Also, be sure to check out Instagram and Facebook at Grace of a Military Child and Life for more awesome content. For information on the podcast, Military Child Bigs and Littles, GoAMCL blog, or other resources, visit www.goamcl.org. You can also email me at Gracie, that's GRACIE at GOAMCL.org, with any questions or comments. To be a guest on the podcast, you can schedule it at www.goamcl.org/schedule-a-podcast, all one word, or contact me via social media or email. Stay tuned for the next episode where another incredible story is shared.